updates. Let's do a tennis update. Thanks to Kia. Get the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. Courtside for us, the host of the first serve and calling all the action, Brett Phillips, is out and about already, or back in the bunker. G'day, BP.
Yeah, back in the bunker, Matt. Good morning. Sun is shining. Plenty of people already flocking into Melbourne Park, and it's Thursday. All the days sort of merge into each other, and here we are. We're past hump day, second lot of the second round matches, and this is where you want to be for a lot of players. You know, they're trying to get to a third round for the very first time in their career, so yeah, the stakes are pretty high.
And the money gets higher and higher the deeper we go, obviously. Let's quickly talk about last night, because quick's the word. Ash Barty is using the ultimate in game economy, if you like, and time economy. So over and done with in less than an hour. Is this, I mean, you never really know what you're going to face early on and how you're going to be. But obviously the massive tick for Ash is get it done, get off court, because the deeper I go, the harder it gets, the longer it's going to get.
Exactly right. And you can only beat who's in front of you in the draw. Look, she's played some great matches in Adelaide, had a big pre-season. Everything's primed nicely. Do you need tougher matches? I mean, look, there's arguments either way. But, you know, Ash at the moment is just far too good for her first two-round opponents. So I think it'll go certainly up a notch against Camilla Giorgi, who is a very, very powerful ball striker. Plays the totally contrasting game to Ash. So Ash sort of relishes those opponents who are just going to belt the living, you know what, out of the tennis ball, and she'll just go to work and slice away and hit those beautiful, sort of chip and charge sort of shots. So, yeah, I think she'll have, you know, a bit too much for Giorgi, but she's got to contend with some real genuine firepower. But no, look, she's looked really, really sound. She's got things under control. You just feel confident about the Ash game. And look, the other part of it is, Matt, as we know, and it was shown last year in the semi, that she's human. She can have a day where it just doesn't quite all work out. So it's not a given, but you feel pretty confident the game's in good nick.
What did you make of John Millman last night, BP, against Alexander Zverev? I mean, you're starting to step up into big-time territory there. John Millman just looks comfortable in a fight, doesn't he?
He came out with enormous energy, and I've always felt, you know, the bigger the court, the bigger the occasion, the opponent, John absolutely gets himself even further up than he normally is, and he's always up for a contest, whoever he's playing in the draw. And yeah, certainly early doors, there were a couple of long rallies. Like, I think we had a 28-shot, 22-shot rally. I thought, okay, John's right, going to be right in this. And yeah, then this is the difference. I mean, Zverev just has the ability to put a little bit more on his ground strokes. So he can just turn a nice rally into an obliteration with one shot. Whether he's going up the line, his cross-court backhand, I thought, was superb last night. He got in to net a lot, which was, you know, which is really good. That's been the development of Zverev, and you know, these big guys are so good from the baseline, but you know, they need the variety as well. They need to be able to come out and close points and not, you know, just be, you know, tugging away from the baseline all day. So that's just the development of all players on the tour. For John, yeah, he doesn't possess the big serve that Sasha has. So, you know, he was able to knock down, what, 14 aces last night, and at times when he really needed it, whereas, you know, John doesn't traditionally serve too many aces in his matches. Mm. But he fought hard. That's been the trademark of his career.
100%. Speaking of Sasha, so he said afterwards, and he was talking about COVID. Now, we know Hugo Humbert has tested positive and has to stick around for another week, but he was already out of the tournament. But he did make a point, Zverev, that he believes that there are plenty of players around who are COVID positive, but there's no testing, etc. So it sort of got me thinking, well, what happens, mate? Are they just why aren't they testing there? And what happens if there is a bit of an outbreak?
So this is the interesting part, Matt. I can talk from the media point of view, is that we are encouraged to do a rapid test every day. You can go to media reception before you leave each day and take a rapid test home, but no one's checking it. It's an honesty system. So, you know, this is
weird.
This is the way it's sort of working at the moment. They're just relying on everyone, whether it be players, people who work at the tournament. There's so many staff, media, just to be totally honest, if you're not feeling crash hot, do not come in the joint. But, you know, is everyone going to abide by that? Well, history says probably not. And particularly players who want to play in a grand slam, and this is where you make your mark. So, yeah, it's a little bit concerning in a sense. I mean, we're we're living with it. It's, you know, it's great to have crowds back at the tennis, and this feeling of normality as we try and navigate our way through this latest wave of COVID, and who knows how it's going to look going forward. But yeah, it seems like it's not, you know, absolutely stringent like it was last year in terms of the testing.
So we've got a pretty good lineup of Australians today. Of course, Chris O'Connell will be out there soon. Matty Inglis, we've got Sam Stosur, the Demon, and then, of course, Nick Kyrgios tonight. So let's go straight to the top on this one. Is there a chance that this could go deeper than a lot of people think this evening between Kyrgios and Medvedev?
Well, it could go one of two ways. I think it could just be Medvedev putting on a superb masterclass and just wearing Kyrgios down and having a little bit of a sense of resignation from Kyrgios that he's just maybe, you know, not going to be worn. He's going to be worn down so early that he's not going to want to really dig in and fight. Or Nick could just come out all guns blazing and start really well and really get some energy. It's going to be a different feeling in Rod Laver Arena, as we know. I mean, there's still a great atmosphere in here, but it's not going to be the absolute raucousness of John Cain Arena. And, you know, Nick's come in here before after playing on John Cain and probably even changed his own behaviour, thinking he's got to be less colourful and less flamboyant than what he normally is, because you've got the president's box watching on and the champagne sippers. And, it's just a totally different vibe. Look, we know that if he serves well, he's always going to be extremely hard to break. What I'm keen to see against Medvedev is he really going to dig in and try and return well and break early, or is he just content to, you know, let these sets get deep and take his chance in the tiebreaker? But, yeah, you just never know. It's so hard to predict, Matt, with Kyrgios and get a form line and a read on his temperament and the mood he's going to be in. So you get a feel for it as, you know, the match unfolds. But Medvedev's just a tough one to crack. He is... He's a machine. He's in the zone. He's resilient. He wants to win another major, and he knows what he'll have to contend with tonight, and he'll just stay extremely steely and focused down his end. And his game, well, we've seen it in the last 2 years. It absolutely stacks up.
Yeah, you're at RLA over at Margaret Court Arena. Just some final thoughts on Madison Inglis. So she's into round two, has the chance to go to the third round. She's obviously only ever made it to the first round in the few majors that she's played, but she's got Hayley Baptiste, who's a qualifier, 20-year-old American, who we know very little about. So this is a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's one of a number of young Americans. When you scan down the rankings, they've got a lot in that sort of 19, 20. We saw, you know, Sam beat one of the young Americans on Monday. So, yeah, this is a 50-50 game for mine. And maybe Madison with the home support. Look, it could go either way. I mean, she might feel it's a little bit too much, or it could really spur her on. But, you know, her win against Fernandez was terrific. I've been a fan. I think she's really, really sound. And, you know, she's been in some matches at sort of 250 level where she could have beaten some really, really good players. So hopefully it's another year of learning and growth and feeling comfortable about just how to get herself into a good position to win, and then really putting her foot down and not allowing the door to be open. So, yeah, huge opportunity for her to go third round of a major. We saw what it did for a few Aussies. You know, there was Zoe Hines, Kim Birrell a couple of years ago. It propels you up and gives you some confidence. No guarantees you'll kick on after the AO and just take that form on tour, because it's a totally different beast. But, yeah, big, big, big opportunity. It really opens up for her. I mean, the Demon Horse draws, you know, opened up. He's made third round twice here. He should be able to beat Myshek today, and then he's got an unseeded player in the next round. So there's some openings, definitely.
Absolutely. You've got a big day ahead. Better let you go, mate. Enjoy.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
Brett Phillips, host of The First Serve here on SEN, calling all the action for you. Just go to the SEN app. We've got the Fanatics app there, and you can get all of your information out of the Melbourne Park Bunker and full commentary as the day goes on. Thanks to Kia, the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au.